This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Through 1 Peter, so let's just review a few things. Let's go back and just cover several key verses that we have in chapter 1 before we get on into chapter 2 again. Chapter 1 and verse 2, according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father. Now, God has a plan. He has a purpose, and He's called us for that. You know, and it's we're going to see how absolutely tremendous this is when we get into more in 1 Peter. Okay? And I want you to know that what Peter did, he said right here in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. No pope, no supremacy, no over other ministers at all. Nowhere. And when we get into 2 Peter, you're going to see that he had a perfect opportunity to make it known, what he would be if he would have been pope. Okay? Okay, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So God has called us, and we're going to learn something interesting about that calling, even more than we've understood in the past. By sanctification through the Spirit unto the obedience. Now let's understand something about keeping the laws and commandments of God in relationship to how they should be kept here in just a minute. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, which gets right down into the Passover and the whole meaning of the new covenant. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Okay? Now what does grace do for obedience and law keeping? What does grace do? Quite the opposite as to what people think. Grace is not licensed to sin, we all know that. Well, let's come here to Romans. Book of Romans, and let's see what grace does. Grace gives us life. Grace gives us God's Spirit. Grace gives us access to God. Grace is what gives us the relationship to God the Father. And believe it or not, grace gives us the capacity to keep the laws and commandments of God properly. Now, not many people have really understood that. Okay? Romans 3, verse 31. Romans 3 and verse 31. That's why we have obedience and grace and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ all together in the same place. Okay? Verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, or as it is in the Greek, may it never be. Indeed, or truly, says yea here, we establish the law. Now the Greek word for establish is tithemi, which means to make stand. Okay, quite different, isn't it, huh? Not just establish, but to make stand firm. The law. Now that's something, isn't it? So then let's answer the other question here. Chapter 6, the book of Romans, and verse 1. Here's the whole key, brethren. And we are going to see that Peter preaches the gospel of grace and growth as intensely as does Paul. Paul writes here in Romans 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Because they were saying, well, if you sin, you got grace and it's automatic, and so go sin the more. Since God is glorified in grace, go sin more so that we have more grace. He says, God forbid. Or may it never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay? That's the whole point. And I'm going to bring a sermon before Passover. What does it mean, dead? I think you're going to be amazed. Based upon the statement that Jesus made, let the dead bury their dead. What does it mean? Okay? Now let's come back to 1 Peter, first chapter again. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. And I'm going to bring a sermon on the covenant of peace. What is the new covenant anyway? How does it operate anyhow? What are we to do? What does this do with the relationship between us and God? Now, when you get the Passover book, you can read the chapter in there, the superiority of the new covenant. Okay, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope. And that's the whole thing that Peter is expressing here. Living hope. What kind of hope? What kind of time was it in? It was in a time much like we are in today. We're being battered and bruised on every side, tried and tested, and in some points to the almost the extreme breaking point. Okay? So we have a living hope. So that regardless of the difficulties that we have to go through, remember the church at Smyrna? They had an organized synagogue of Satan against them to chase them, to persecute them, to throw them in jail and kill them. And as I've said sarcastically before, all of these arrogant ministers that want to go out and proclaim whatever church they are in. Let's have someone stand up and say, I'm from Smyrna. I haven't heard anybody say that yet. Because no, they want all the blessings. They want all the goodness. But they don't want the work. They don't want the faith, and they don't want the hope, and they don't want the death. We have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, what do we get our minds on when we're in these times of troubles and difficulties? Okay? Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for us. And as Christ said, where thieves can't break through and steal, where it doesn't rot, where it doesn't corrupt, who are being safeguarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, which is to be revealed in the last time. That's referring to the resurrection. So we're safeguarded by the power of God through faith. In this you are greatly rejoicing, but if it is necessary at the present time, you have been distressed for a little while by various trials. And I know, you know, that we have varying degrees of trials that come up before the Passover. And I pray for God's mercy on everyone. But life goes on. For what purpose? In order that the proving of your faith, that's what it is, faith, brethren, your belief, your absolute and deep and profound and eternal spiritual belief in God and Jesus Christ and what they have called us for. Okay? Which is more precious than gold. And we could add all kinds of stories there, but we won't. And the gold is perishing. Even though your faith is being tested by fire, that your faith may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something. Even Jesus Christ, to overcome death, died for us. And we really need to let that sink in deeply. And I want you to read before the Passover about the foot washing, the full meaning of foot washing, the full meaning of the body of Christ, and the full meaning of the blood of Christ. Whom having not seen, you are loving. And how we are we to be loving God? With all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, aren't we? Even though at this present time you are not seeing Him, you are believing Him, and you are rejoicing with unspeakable joy. And no one can take that away. Remember what Jesus said the Passover night to His disciples? He said, "My joy I give you." Not as the world gives it, give I it to you. Okay? Now, you see, the whole thing is, even in the time of trial and difficulty and absolute, almost overbearing, oppressive things that come upon us, God is there. And what did Paul say? He said, "I rejoice that I am weak, because when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ." And that's what it's all about, brethren. Okay, so even though we go through all of this, and you are receiving, verse 9 now, the fulfillment of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning this, which salvation the prophets who have prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Now how profound is this that God has called us to? Not some exercise in religion that we go to church on Saturday because we're better people than those who go to church on Sunday. Okay? He hasn't called us to play religion. He has called us to everlasting life. I'll repeat that. God has not called us to play religion, but He has called us to everlasting life. And it's so profound that He didn't even let the prophets that He inspired know what exactly that was. Isn't that something? He could not let it be known until Christ came. Prophesy of the grace which had come to you, have diligently searched out and intently inquired, searching into what way or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating and testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and of those glories which should follow. Isn't that something? So great a salvation that it could not be revealed until the author of salvation came and gave his life. That's something. Absolutely powerful. To whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they were ministering these things. Which now have been announced to you by those who preach the gospel, even to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things angels are desiring to look. Into which things angels are desiring to look. Think of that, brethren. I mean, if you get down and discouraged sometime, you just go read this first chapter of Peter. Okay? So profound and so marvelous and so great and so awesome is what God is going to give to us that the angels want to know what it is. Verse 13, for this reason have your minds prepared for action. Yes, spiritual action. Being self-controlled, be completely hoping in the grace which is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, children of God, obedient to God, okay? Do not be conforming yourselves in your former lusts, in your former ignorance, but according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it has been written, you be holy because I am holy. And if you are calling upon the Father, the one who is judging according to every man's work without respect of persons, be conducting the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you are not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver or gold from your futile way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly had been foreknown before the foundation of the world, but for your sakes was manifested in these last times. To those who are believing in God through him who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. That's what it needs to be. Not in any man, not in any minister. Okay? And as I've said before, it is time for the ministers of God to be pointing the people of God and not to themselves. Your souls have been purified by obedience to the truth unto unfeigned brotherly love through the Spirit out of a pure heart. Love one another fervently. For you have been begotten again, not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed by the living Word of God. We've got a living hope, a living God, the living Word, the living Christ, the living Savior, who what? Gives us life. And aren't we glad that we know about the second resurrection? Think of not just the first resurrection. We're happy and glad because of the first resurrection, and hopefully that we will be there. But as the Apostle Paul said, I keep myself and beat myself under control that lest I preach to others, I myself will be a castaway. Okay? So we'll say, okay, we will make it there because Christ said, I will not lose one save the son of perdition that the Scripture might be fulfilled. So we'll conclude, yes, we will make it to the first resurrection. But aren't you glad you know about the second resurrection? That all of these people, just think of the accidents, just think of the death, just think of the mayhem. It is something, brethren. That God is so great and his plan is so marvelous than all of those who die that never had an opportunity for salvation because he didn't call them. He's going to resurrect him back to a second physical life for an opportunity for salvation. That is marvelous. You talk about grace and mercy and love. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Okay? So the living Word of God, which is abiding forever. Because all flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and its flower fell off. And that is proper translation. Punctiliar aorist tense, fell off. Fell away. But the Word of God is abiding forever, and this is the message which by the gospel was preached unto you. Now we'll come down through verse 3 because that's as far as we got last time. All right? Therefore, that is in the light of all of this which was said before. Okay? Put away all wickedness and all deceit. And that could also be translated guile. The little hypocritical nitpicking things that people do to one another. And hypocrisies and jealousies and all slanders. As newborn babes. That is, let your mind be as clean as a newborn babe. Why? Because it hasn't been exercised in evil yet. That's why. Not that you are newborn babes. We went through born again several times there. Yearn after. Be as hungry as a newborn babe. And I tell you what, all you mothers know and all you fathers know too, don't you? That when the newborns are ready to eat, they want to eat and eat now. And if you don't do it now, whether it's 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, they're going to let you know, and they're not going to quit crying until you feed them. Okay? And the best food is mama's. Okay? And it's pure. Okay? Yearn after the pure spiritual milk, but we're to grow to the point that we're able to what? Have strong meat. Hebrews the 5th chapter. That you may grow, and I inserted the two words, in character. And you might want to put dash godliness. Because that's what it's for. If indeed you yourselves did taste that the Lord is gracious. And everything that God does is by His grace. Everything that you do for God, you do because of God's grace. Now here, since we're still in the book of Romans in our other Bible, let's go to Romans, the 2nd chapter. And here's the same word. Okay, God is gracious. Now, what does that do? What is that supposed to do for us? That's supposed to lead us to repentance. Romans 2 and verse 4. Oh, let's go back to verse 1, all right? Verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. And this just means any human. In the Greek, this is what is called the vocatives. They call the vocative. Wherever you see the O, that's a vocative tense, which means O, human being, or man, or person. Whosoever you are that are judging, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that do judge are doing the same things. And we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. Yes, we can stand up and condemn for these sins. Right? Right. But he says, verse 3, and think you this? O man, that judge them which do these things, and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His graciousness, as it should be translated, and forbearance and long suffering? Now, why does God put up with so many things for so long? Hopefully, that the people will repent. Not knowing that the goodness, graciousness of God leads you. Notice the ETH is leading you to repentance. And so maybe we can kind of set our spiritual goal. Come to deeper conversion and deeper repentance, not that we go to God and say, "Oh God, now I'm so good that I'm going to be more deeply converted this year." No. You ask God by His mercy and grace that you can be. And let it be merciful. Okay? But after your hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. But to them who by patient continuance, or continually, patiently doing the things in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, those are the ones He's going to give eternal life. So that's why Peter wrote and said. Now, back to 1 Peter 2 and verse 3. If indeed you yourselves did taste that the Lord is gracious. Because what is it that we deserve? We have earned death. Wages of sin is death. Okay? Now, I know that's a little long review, but let's pick it up here in verse 4 now. Let's go, let's read on down here to verse 8, and then we'll come back and we'll study these four verses. To whom you are coming, and that's present tense, as a living stone, indeed rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. Also, as living stones, you are yourselves being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this reason, it says in the Scriptures, behold, I place in Zion the chief cornerstone, chosen and precious. And the one who is believing on Him, active, ongoing faithizing, as it were, should never be put to shame. Which means that it doesn't matter what people think or do or say. It's how you stand before God. Therefore, the preciousness is to those. Now, I have to you, it should be those. Should be those. To those, and you could almost put in there, of you who are believing. Okay? But to those who are disobeying, the stone which has been rejected by those who are building, this one became the head of the corner, even a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who are stumbling at the word and are disobeying, unto which destruction also they were appointed. Now, what he's doing here, he's making some very distinct contrasts. Okay? We're going to see that he's contrasting us and our calling and the people of God with the world. And he's going to show us that there is friction and confrontation and trials that you go through. So he wants us to really understand what we need to do. Let's come back here to verse 4. Okay? To whom coming as unto a living stone. Okay? Christ is the living stone. Now let's go back to the book of Isaiah and let's look at some of the scriptures from whence this comes. Okay? Let's go back to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Isaiah 8. It's okay. We'll go there first. Doesn't matter. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Isn't that the same way that God has called us? Okay? We're not to walk in the way of this people. And say not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, and that's exactly what we're seeing politically today. Oh, we've got all this, we have the Rainbow Coalition. That's a confederacy. Okay? Neither fear you their fear, nor be afraid. Verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offenses. Rock of offense what? To both houses of Israel. Both. Not just the Jews, but both. Is that not a true prophecy? Yes, it is. Okay? For a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So much so that the rabbis, just the Supreme Court of so-called Israel and Judah, ordered Messianic Jews out of the country. They are not welcome in Israel. Is that not a stumbling stone? See what happens. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. Now notice verse 16. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples, which is what? It is a prophecy of the writing of the New Testament. It's exactly what it is. And I will wait upon the Lord, and he that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and my children whom the Lord has given me, they are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. That's exactly what it is. Then it goes on talking about the demonism there. What we're confronted with today, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and wizards that peep and that mutter. And then this is a parenthetical thought that is in there. Which they say to you, should not a people seek unto their God and for the living to the dead? That's a reason for doing what they're doing. So here's the answer to it. Verse 20. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And what is the testimony, the greatest testimony on earth? Jesus Christ. That is the testimony it's talking about, because it's talking about here the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. To us, though, we're to be coming on an ongoing basis. Now back to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and verse 4. Coming on an ongoing basis unto a living stone. Now, it's very interesting what a stone is. Okay? We are also called stones, right? Yes, Now notice we have the living hope, the living word, the living God, now living stone. And what are we to reflect? We'll see here in just a minute. Okay. Indeed rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. What does chosen mean? Okay. Very interesting. How many of you can remember the word, the Greek word for church or assembly? Ekklesias, right? Correct. Yes. Some of you knew that right off. Which means the called out or the chosen ones. Okay? So Christ was the ekletos of God. So it's no wonder that we are called the ekklesias or the ekletoi of God. Okay? Chosen ones of God. In what way? The same way as Christ. Think on that. It says the Father loves you with the same love that He loved me. Okay? I think, brethren, and I hope and pray that we can really fully to the, obviously we can't until the resurrection, but between now and then, because it says grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, okay, that we can come to a full and deep and profound understanding of God's way and what He's done. Okay? Chosen by God and precious. Now, verse 5, and also as living stones. That's something? That's what we're to be. Living stones. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. All right, now let's see how all of this fits together. Jesus is the living stone, right? Now let's look at some things referring to Christ. I will refer you to it because you know the scriptures. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said to Peter, on this rock, which is Christ, I will build my church. But what did He say to Peter just before that? He said, you are Peter, which is Petros, little stone. Here's a perfect place for Peter to say, I am the stone to build the church on, and I am the first pope. Right? So if it were in fact so, there's where it should be in Scripture. So if anyone challenges you on that, just remember 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, Matthew 16:18. Okay? One more scripture to write down and remember. John 1:42. When Jesus first saw Peter, He said, you are Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. So Peter did not claim to be any more than a part of the living stones. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and let's see how this is to be built up and how it is all in Christ. And then we will look at some of the other scriptures again in the Old Testament referring to Christ again. Okay? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. I mean, we're learning the same thing out of Peter that we did out of James. There's a whole lot more here than we figured. Okay? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. We see the same thing. All right? Verse 20, Ephesians 2 and verse 20.
No, let's go back to verse 19. No, verse 18. Sorry about that. Keep you going here. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. Okay, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's what's important, the household of God, which is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows, so as living stones, you see. We're to grow unto a holy temple in the Lord. So what God is doing in our lives is something, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. In whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, now chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 12. Here's the whole purpose of everything we have. I'm going to give a sermon on the government of God here somewhere down the road, not too far distant future, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, which really will be eye-opening, but we'll save it for them. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, which means upbuilding of the body of Christ. Okay? Now verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. And we're going to see, brethren, that that is not, as we have been told before, tithes and offerings. Okay? That is what you supply, what God gives you, and what you do in spiritual sacrifices. And I think the only way we're going to grow is that we start tending to those spiritual sacrifices. And we'll get into that a little later. According to the effectual working of in the measure of every part makes increase unto the body to the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so we see that we have here, we've got Christ who's the chief stone. We are the living stones. He is the eklektos, and we are the eklektoi, the plural. Okay? Chosen. Precious. All right? We see that Christ is the rock. We see that Peter is a stone, Cephas. And we see that we are stones. And it is a living stone, and we are to be living stones. Okay? Now let's go back and look at what happens when people again reject Christ. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Okay, just put down in your notes, or if you're listening to this on the tape, go ahead and read all the way through the whole psalm, because it shows the relationship that you have with God. Verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. And it's interesting how then Peter is talking about the stone of stumbling and the trials we go through. The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. Okay? Now let's come down here to verse 21. I will praise you, for you have heard me and are become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now let's look at some New Testament scriptures where that is quoted. Okay? One more Old Testament scripture. My notes are so small here, and I need a little more light. Let's go to Isaiah 28, beg your pardon. Then we'll go to the New Testament. Isaiah 28. Okay. Yes. Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. And with hell are we at agreement. Sounds like the new covenant that was made, right? Remember the election? Yeah, people would rather stick to their ways of death than go turn to God. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. That's what they're saying. Oh, yes, no, we'll bypass all this stuff. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Directly referring to rejecting Jesus Christ. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And we can go through the New Testament and find all kinds of scriptures relating to this. And what is the foundation upon which we are to build? No other foundation can any man lay other than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Right? Yes. Okay, let's turn this tape to the other side, please. Okay, Matthew 21. I said Matthew 20, I beg your pardon. Matthew 21. Okay. Now let's pick it up here in verse 33. Matthew 21 and verse 33. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder who planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it, built a tower and let it out, that means leased it out, to a husbandman, and went into a far country. And when the time was of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that he might receive the fruit of it, which then obviously the fruit of it was the wine, right? Because he digged the wine press. The only thing that you're going to get out of a harvest of grapes is wine and raisins. That's it. Today, we can get grape juice because we have bottling, pasteurizing, and hermetically sealing, which keeps the wine, the grape juice from turning into wine. So when he came back for the fruits of it, it has to be because he has a wine tower, and then the only other fruit would be what? Grapes. Not grapes, but raisins, because he was far off. And the husbandman took the servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. And at last he sent to them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize his inheritance. To steal a kingdom, right? And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And Christ was slain where? Without the camp. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those husbandmen? And they said to them, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, and there shall, and which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. I want you to think about what we are to do then, brother.
Are we not in the vine of Christ? Yes, we are. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, and you are the branches. Bring forth fruit. Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? And isn't that true of all religionists? Huh? Yes. Do they read the scriptures? No. They use them and manipulate them for their own end. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you that the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's us, brethren. And whosoever will fall on this stone will be broken in repentance, you might add there. On whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief Pharisees, the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spoke of them. Now you know why Jesus warned them about the unpardonable sin. Did they know? Here, brethren, is the greatest manifestation of God to his entire creation. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ in person, came to his own and his own received him not, right? Verse 46, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now I'll have to bring a little sermon on the intrigue of the arrest of Jesus. And who was Judas? Very interesting. And oh, one sermon that I want to give down somewhere down the road, I don't know what it'll be, but I want to give a sermon on what would a church of the Pharisees be like? I've been reading this book while I was doing the copies for the special edition of the book. I would sit there while the copies were going through because I have a slow copier. It goes click, 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 real slow. And I've been reading this book, Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. And it showed what a Pharisee community was like. And I think you will be amazed how that's how the Church of God was run many years. Okay? I'll just whet your appetite with that. All right? Now let's continue on here. Let's go to Luke 19. Luke 19, here's another similar parable given, only this time in the way of talents. Okay, Luke 19. Okay, it's the same parallel one there. Luke 19, it begins in verse 9. It follows right on down through the same one. Okay. Let's come down to verse 17. Read the verses from 9 through 17, please. And he beheld them and said, this is, what is this that has been written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Yes, I was reading in Luke 20. Beg your pardon. No wonder you couldn't find it. All right. So we have again a similar parable over here in Luke 19. Okay. Let's come to verse 14. Luke 19 and verse 14. But his citizens hated him. Now, brethren, it is true, the biggest problem the Jews have today is Jesus Christ. And he's been their biggest problem for
1900 years.
Hated him. Sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man rule over us." So when he comes to his kingdom, verse 27, after he gives the reward to those who had the pounds and did what they should have. Okay? Verse 27, Luke 19. "But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me." So when it talks about a stone of offense going to grind them to powder, it's exactly what's going to happen. Okay? Now, let's see where we are. Okay, let's come back to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Okay? Okay, verse 5. "And you as living stones." Okay? That means that we are to be living this way of life. Now let's put just a couple of other scriptures in here to show how this will work together. Okay? And that ties in to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Let's go to Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. Now, for those of you on the tape mailing program, this is going to be a little short. But for those of us here, this is going to be a little long because we covered quite a few things before we started the tape. But here in Romans 12, this tells us how we are to be living stones. Okay? And what is it that gives us life? It's the Spirit that gives life, right? And how are we to worship God? In spirit and in truth. Okay? Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And as Paul said, as those who are alive from the dead. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service," or that is your spiritual service. "And be not conformed to this world." Be transformed. That's where conversion takes place. That's how you are a living stone. "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Spirit of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now that's how we are to be having our lives conducted as living sacrifices. Okay? Now, let's go to John 6th chapter and let's see where all of this comes from. John 6. We have a living stone. We have the living Word. We have the living Christ. We have the living Father. Okay? John 6. And verse 51. And it's interesting because the Greek there for living is the same word for eternal life. Okay? Verse 51. Jesus said, "I am the living bread." And that's why it's so important that we keep the Passover the way that God shows. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man or anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now let's come down here to verse 57. So he's the living bread. He gives life. Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me. That's why we are to have a living faith, with living works, with living belief. See? That's what it is that God gives to us. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. The one who eats me shall live by me. And that ties in exactly with what Peter is writing here and showing us what to do and how to do and how to live. Okay, let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and let's see some more of these spiritual sacrifices which we are to offer up. Hebrews 13. Now this, after Paul writes all about the animal sacrifices and everything in the book of Hebrews, this becomes very important, and there's quite a bit of material in here to show that what some of these Jews were doing, they were giving up on Christ, they were giving up on the New Testament Passover, they were going back to circumcision, going back to sacrifices, and everything. Rejecting Christ because Jesus didn't come when they wanted Him to. So they went back to what they had and were rejecting Christ. Now here, Hebrews 13, and let's pick it up here in verse 15. Okay? For by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So it gets right down into our daily conduct. We have Jesus Christ who is the living stone, right? We are to be living stones. We then are to follow Christ's way. And you know, when you read that, it does just like it did with the book of James. It puts a little dagger in the heart, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Because why? You find yourself falling short. Yes. So do I. Everyone does. And that's why we have the Sabbath. And that's why we can be inspired on the Sabbath. Because probably on Monday it's going to be a downer. Okay? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But if it is, we're not to go ahead and be like the world. Okay? So those are pleasing to God. Now let's see some other things that are also pleasing to God. All right? Let's go to... Just put in your notes Galatians 5:22. You should have that memorized. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, and faith, and hope, and meekness, and temperance, and patience. Against such there is no law. Okay, those are spiritual sacrifices to God. And what is the hardest thing in the world to do? I'll tell you what the hardest thing in the world to do is to be nice when you've been wrong. And I would have to say that I think I've failed that test more than anybody I know. Maybe that's why we have such tough times once in a while. Okay? So we can learn that lesson. And I always remember what Christ said when He was dying. He said, Father, forgive them not, for they know not what they are doing. Amazing. I mean amazing. When you think about that and you think, boy, some of the situations that you've been put in, that I've put in, where we've been much more short, much quicker, and haven't even thought of that. That thought was so far from us, we couldn't even understand it, right? While we're still yet Christians, right? Right. Okay, let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. Because these spiritual sacrifices and these things are to perfect us through Christ. Colossians 1.
And that's the only perfection there's going to be, and that's the only way that we're going to have the living faith, the living hope, the living Word, the living Christ, the living Father. Colossians 1 and verse 26. Even the mystery or the secret of God, which has been hid from ages and from generations. Not even the prophets, not even the angels. You know, and it sure is true. Sure is true. Boy, now you know why the Laodiceans get rich and increase with goods, because they have the Word of God, they've got everything, they've got it comfortable, they have all of this, and they lose sight of the tremendous thing that God has done. Okay? That there would have been people who would have willingly given their lives to know what we know. And then we go, oh, No wonder God is about ready to spit some out, okay? But now is made manifest to the saints, revealed to the saints. God has revealed it through His Spirit. Okay? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this secret or this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amazing, brethren. We talk about the resurrection kind of as an offhanded thing. But I tell you what, when you see death, or you're staring death in the face, or when one of your relatives dies, and you go by yourself in your little old corner or closet, and you really realize how little infinitesimal thing that we are. Then the resurrection means a lot, doesn't it, huh? I mean, think about it. God is going to resurrect us from the dead, or change us in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, if we make it alive till then. And who is going to change this vile body made like unto His glorious body. Boy, that's something. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't think the times around is going to get much better. So we got to keep that focused right in mind, right there. And the next time some difficult thing comes upon you, put that right there. Right smack between your forehead. Deep in your heart. Let Christ in you, okay? Because He's the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, isn't that what Peter's preaching over here? As living stones, spiritual sacrifices, a spiritual house unto God. Yes, indeed. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. It'd be wonderful, brethren, if we had 10,000 Apostle Pauls around to preach today, huh? Wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Okay, now let's go back to 1 Peter, the second chapter here. We'll talk a little bit more about Zion next time, but we'll finish here with verse 6. For this reason, it says in the Scripture, behold, I place in Zion the chief cornerstone, chosen and precious, and the one who is believing on Him shall never be put to shame. And that means before God. Maybe before men in a trial, yes. But before God, no. And what is it that men can do to you anyway? Well, they can take your life. But God's going to resurrect you. You know, sometimes that sounds a little fatalistic. But I tell you what, when we stare the jaws of death right down the throat, and see those teeth opening up just like that. That means a lot, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Okay. Well, we'll try and make a little more progress in 1 Peter and really learn what he has for us there. And I think it'll be really good leading up to the Passover.
The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.